This is the fabulous and timeless tale of the Thousand and One Nights. At the end of the podcast, do please fill out the survey that you can find on the webpage. As a thank you bonus, I'm offering a handy little book called I Create Millions by Christopher Westra. Here begin the Thousand Nights and One Night, the tale of the merchant and the Ifrit. Shahrazad said, "It has come to me, O auspicious king, that there was once a merchant of the merchants, master of many riches and of affairs of commerce in all lands. One day he mounted on horseback and left for certain places whither his business called him. As the heat became too vexing, he sat down under a tree and, putting his hand into his food bag, took from it a snack and also some dates. When he had finished eating the dates, he threw the stones to a distance, but suddenly an enormous ifrit appeared who approached him, brandishing a sword and crying, 'Rise up that I may slay you as you have slain my child.' On this the merchant asked, 'How have I slain your child?' The other said, 'When you threw the stones of the dates you had eaten, they struck my boy in the breast and he died forthwith.' Then said the merchant to the Ifrit, 'Know, O great Ifrit, that I am a believer and know not how to lie. Now, I have many riches and children and a wife. Also, I have at home deposits which have been trusted to me. Give me leave to go to my house that I may render each his due, and when I have done this, I will return to you. Indeed, indeed, you have my promise and my oath that I will return to you forthwith. Then you shall do to me as you wish, and Allah is a witness of my words.' So the jinni had trust in the merchant and let him depart. The merchant returned to his own land, rid himself of his obligations, rendered each his due, and lastly revealed to his wife and his children the fate that had overtaken him. So they all, relations, women, and children, began to weep. Then the merchant made his will and rested with his folk until the year's end, after which, taking his winding sheet beneath his arm, he bade farewell to his nearest, to his neighbors, and to the folk of his house, and went forth, as it were, in spite of his nose. Then, indeed, was lamentation made and grief cried over him. As for the merchant, he continued to journey till he came to the garden where he was due on the first day of the new year. Now, while he sat down to weep over his fate, behold, a venerable sheikh came towards him, leading a gazelle by a chain. He saluted the merchant, wishing him a life of prosperity, and saying to him, "What is the reason for you staying alone upon this jinn-haunted spot?" Then the merchant told him of his adventure with the Ifrit. And the sheikh, master of the gazelle, being greatly astonished, said, "By Allah, your faith, my brother, is indeed a rare faith. And your story is so prodigious that, were it only written with a needle on the inner corner of an eye, it would yet be a matter of reflection to the circumspect." Then he sat down by the merchant's side, saying, "By Allah, I shall certainly stay with you, my brother, until I have seen what happens between you and the Ifrit." So he stayed, conversing with the merchant, and beheld him swooning with fear and horror, a prey to deep sorrow and to stormy thoughts. Suddenly, as the master of the gazelle waited, there came a second sheikh who advanced towards them leading two dogs of greyhound breed, which were both black. He came up to them, wishing them peace and asking the reason of their stay upon that jinn-haunted spot. So they told him the story from beginning to end. But hardly had he seated himself when a third sheikh came towards them leading a bay-coloured she-mule, and he also wished them peace and asked them the reason of their stay. Again, they told the story from beginning to end, but nothing is to be gained by repeating it in this place. In a little while, a sand devil lifted and a great wind blew heavily, coming towards the middle of the grassland. Then the dust dispersing, the selfsame jinni appeared, a fine sharpened blade in his hand and sparks of fire storming from his eyes. He came to them and, seizing the merchant from among them, said, "Come, that I may kill you as you killed my child, who is the breath of my life and the fire of my heart." Then the merchant began to weep and lament, and the three sheikhs also set themselves most conspicuously to weep and groan and sob. But the first sheikh, master of the gazelle, at last plucked up his courage and kissed the hand of the jinni, saying, "O jinni, O chief among the kings of the jinn and their crown also, if I relate to you the tale of myself and this gazelle, and it is such that you marvel at it, O grant me in return mercy for a third of the blood of this merchant." The jinni answered, "Assuredly, O venerable sheikh, if you tell me the story and I find it indeed extraordinary, I will grant you mercy for a third of his blood." The tale of the first sheikh. The first sheikh said, "O great Ifrit, know that this gazelle was my uncle's daughter and my own flesh and blood. I married her when she was quite young and lived with her for nearly 30 years, but Allah granted me no child by her. So I took a concubine who, by Allah's favor, gave me a man-child as beautiful as the rising moon, with fine eyes, meeting brows, and perfect limbs. When he had grown to be a boy of 15, I was obliged to journey to a far city on an important matter of business. You must know that my uncle's daughter, this gazelle, had been initiated since childhood into sorcery and the law of enchantment. By the art of magic, she changed my son into a calf, and the slave, his mother, into a cow, and put them both under the care of our herd. A long time afterwards, I came back from my journey and asked for my son and his mother. Then my wife said, 'Your slave is dead, and your son has fled I know not whither.' For a year I remained broken by my heart's grief, with tears ever in my eyes. Then, when the yearly feast of the day of sacrifice came around, I sent to bid my herd choose a well-fattened cow for me, and he brought me one. But she was my concubine, bewitched by this gazelle. Then I pulled up the sleeves and skirts of my garments, and knife in hand prepared to sacrifice the cow. But suddenly she began to moan and weep abundant tears. So I stopped and ordered the herd to sacrifice her. He did so, but when he had flayed her, we found neither fat nor flesh on her, but only skin and bone. Then I repented that I had sacrificed her, though my repentance was of no avail, and gave her to the herd, saying, 'Bring me a well-fattened calf.' So he brought me my son in the likeness of a calf. When the calf saw me, he broke the cord that held him, and running to me, rolled at my feet with groans and tears. Then I had pity on him and said to the herd, 'Bring me another cow and let this be.'" At this point in her tale, Shahrazad saw the approach of morning and discreetly fell silent. Then her sister Dunyazad said, "Sister, your words are sweet and gentle and pleasant to the taste." And Shahrazad answered, "Indeed, they are nothing to that which I would tell both of you tomorrow night if I was still alive and the king thought good to spare me." On this, the king said to himself, "By Allah, I will not kill her until I have heard the rest of her tale." Then the king and Shahrazad passed the rest of the night in each other's arms till the king departed to sit in judgment. When he saw the wazir approach, carrying under his arm the winding sheet destined for his daughter, Shahrazad, whom he believed already dead, the king said nothing to him but continued to administer justice, raising some to office and debasing others until the fall of day, so that the wazir was plunged into perplexity and the extreme of astonishment. When the divan was over, King Shahryar returned to his palace. And when the second night had come, Dunyazad said to Shahrazad, "Sister, I pray you, finish for us the tale of the merchant and the jinni." To this Shahrazad answered, "With all my heart, and as my duty is, if the king permits." Then the king said, "You may speak." And she said, "It is related, O favored king and lover of justice, that when the merchant saw the calf weeping, his heart was softened, and he said to the herd, 'Leave this calf to graze among the cows.' The Jinni was mightily astonished at this strange tale, and the Sheikh, master of the gazelle, continued, O master of the kings of the Jinn, my uncle's daughter, this gazelle, was looking on and said to me, Certainly we must sacrifice this calf. He is fattened to perfection. But for very pity, I could not make up my mind to sacrifice him. And at my order, the herd took him again and went away with him. On the next day, as I was sitting in my house, the herd came to me saying, Master, I have a joyful thing to tell you, good news worthy of recompense. Surely, I answered. Then he said, Great merchant, my daughter is a sorceress and has learned magic from an old woman who lodges with us. Yesterday, when you gave me that calf, I brought him with me into the presence of my daughter, and scarcely had she set eyes on him when she covered her face with her veil, first weeping and then laughing. Finally, she said to me, Has my worth fallen so in your eyes that you let strange men like this come into my presence? Where are these strange men? I answered. And why have you wept and then laughed? Then she said, This calf with you is the son of our master, the merchant. But he is bewitched. Yes, both he and his mother bewitched by his stepmother. And it was the calf expression of his face at which I laughed. And if I wept, it was for the mother of this poor calf slain by his father. I was greatly astonished by these words of my daughter and waited with impatience for the dawn that I might come to tell you. Then, mighty Jinni, continued the Sheikh, hearing the herd's words, I went out with him, drunken without wine, for joy of seeing my son again. When I came to the herd's house, his young daughter welcomed me, kissing my hand, and the calf came and rolled at my feet. Then I asked the herd's daughter, Is what you say of this calf true? And she answered, Yes, master, indeed. He is your son, your heart's delight. Then I said, My gentle, helpful child, if you deliver my son, I will give you all the cattle and the goods your father holds for me. She smiled at my words and said, Master, I would only be willing to take these riches on two conditions. The first, that I marry your son, and the second, that I have your leave to bewitch and confine whomsoever I wish. Without these things, I cannot answer for the good of my interference against the evil arts of your wife. Mighty Jinni, when I heard the words of the herd's daughter, I answered, Be it so, and further you shall have the riches which your father holds for me, and as for my uncle's daughter, you may dispose of her life as you wish. When she heard me say this, she took a small copper basin and filled it with water, speaking magic incantations over it. Then she sprinkled the calf with water and conjured him in these words, If Allah made thee a calf, remain a calf, but if thou art bewitched, return to thy former shape by the grace of Allah the Most High. Even as she spoke, the calf, beginning to tremble and dislimb, returned to human form. I threw myself upon him in a long embrace, and then I asked him in the name of Allah to tell me what my uncle's daughter had done to him and to his mother. So he told me all that had happened, and I said, My son, Allah, master of destinies, has raised up one to save you and restore your rights. After this, good Jinni, I married my son to the herd's daughter, and she, by magic arts, bewitched my wife, turning her into this gazelle which you now see. Passing by here, I saw this excellent merchant, and asking what he did, and hearing what had happened, sat down to watch the event. Such is my story. Then the Jinni cried, Your tale is marvelous enough, and I grant you mercy for a third of this blood. After this, the second sheikh, master of the two greyhounds, came forward and said, O mighty Ifrit, if I tell you the adventure which befell me from these two hounds, which are my brothers, and if you find it more marvelous than the tale you have just heard, will you grant me mercy for another third of this man's blood? Assuredly, venerable sheikh, answered the Jinni, if your adventure be indeed more marvelous. So the second sheikh began. The tale of the second sheikh. Know, O Lord of the kings of the Jinn, that these two hounds are my brothers, and I am the third. When our father died, he left us an inheritance of 3,000 dinars, and with my share I opened a shop and began to trade in it. My brothers did the same, but soon one of them set out on a commercial venture and was away with the caravans for over a year. When he returned, he had lost all his money, and I was moved to say to him, Brother, Did I not counsel you against this journey? Then he wept and said, Allah, the all-powerful, allow this loss of mine, and your words cannot help me now that I have nothing left. Then I brought him up into my shop and afterwards conducted him to the baths and gave him a fine robe of rare workmanship. When at last we were sitting down to eat together, I told my brother that I was about to compute the yearly gains from my shop, and that, leaving the capital untouched, I would divide whatever profit there might be equally between us. When, on making my accounts, I found that I had profit of 1,000 dinars for the year, I gave thanks to the power and greatness of Allah and rejoiced exceedingly. Then I divided the sum equally between my brother and myself, and we dwelt together for many days. But at length, both my brothers made up their minds to go on a second journey and wished me to set out with them. When I declined this invitation, pointing out the result of the first journey did not tempt me to imitate them, they began to reproach me. But their words were of no avail, and we stayed buying and selling each in our respective shops for a whole year. At the end of the year, they again proposed a journey, and again I refused, and this went on for 6 whole years. But at last I acceded to their request to set out with them and suggested that we should count up what money we had. We did so and found that it came in all to 6,000 dinars. Then I said, let us hide the half of this in the earth to be a help if we encounter ill fortune, and let us each take with us 1,000 dinars to trade with. May Allah favor your advice, they answered. So, taking the money and dividing it, I hid 3,000 dinars and divided the other 3,000 between us three. Then we bought merchandise of many kinds, hired a ship, and placing all we had on board, set sail. After a month's voyage, we dropped anchor at a certain city where we sold our goods at a profit of 10 dinars for one. Then we left the city. When we came down to the seaside, we found there a woman dressed in old and tattered garments who approached me and kissed my hand, saying, Master, can you help me and save me? Well, I know how to repay your kindness. I answered, Certainly I will help and save you, but you must not think it necessary to repay me. Marry me then, Master, she said. Carry me with you to your country, and I will pledge my soul to you. Do this for me, for I am of those who know the value of an obligation. Also, I pray, do not be ashamed of my poor condition. When I heard her speak, I pitied her from the bottom of my heart, for nothing comes to pass but Allah wills it. I carried her with me, clothed her in rich garments, and stretched fine carpets for her on the ship. Then, when I had given her a full and cordial welcome, we set sail. As time went on, I grew to love her and would not be parted from her day or night, preferring her company to that of my brothers. So they grew jealous of me, envying my riches and the beauty of my possessions. They cast greedy eyes on all that I had and plotted my death and the theft of my money. Satan made this plan seem good to them. One day, as I lay sleeping by my wife's side, they stole up to us and cast us both into the sea. My wife woke in the water and suddenly, changing her shape, became an ifrita. Then she took me upon her shoulders and, carrying me to an island, left me and disappeared for the whole night. In the morning she returned and said, Do you not know me? I am your wife. It was I who held you up and saved you from death by Allah's grace. Know now that I am a jinniyah, and that when first I saw you, my heart loved you, for Allah willed it so, and I am a believer in him and in his prophet, whom may he bless and keep. Even when I came to you in poor estate, you were willing to marry me, and now in my turn I have saved you from death in the water. As for your brothers, I am enraged against them and must kill them. Astonished by her words, I thanked her heartily. But as for killing my brothers, this thing must not be done, I said, and told her all that had happened between us from beginning to end. When she had heard me out, she said, Tonight I will fly to them and sink their ships so that they die. Then I said, Allah be with you. Do not do this thing. The Master of Proverbs has said, You who have helped the unworthy know that the wicked man has in his wickedness punishment enough. and whatever they have done, they are still my brothers. No, I must kill them, she said, and I begged her clemency in vain. She took me on her shoulders, and flying through the air, set me down upon the terrace of my house at home. I opened the door of my house and lifted the 3,000 dinars from their hiding place. Then, after making the customary visits of greetings, I opened my shop and stocked it anew with goods. When night came, I shut my shop, and entering my own house, found these two hounds tied up in a corner. When they saw me, they rose weeping and caught hold of my garments. At that moment, my wife ran up to me, saying, "These are your brothers." And when I asked her who had done this thing to them, she answered, "I did. I asked my sister, who is far more deeply learned in enchantments than I am, and she changed them into these forms, out of which they cannot come until 10 years have passed. That is why, O powerful Jinni, I happen to be in this place, because I am on my way to see my sister-in-law to beg her to deliver these poor creatures now that 10 years have passed. When I came here, I saw this good merchant, and after hearing his tale, wished to remain and witness what would happen between him and you. This is my story." "Truly a remarkable tale," the Jinni said. "For it, I grant you mercy on a third of this blood, which is forfeit to me." Then the third sheikh, master of the mule, came forward and said to the Jinni, "I will tell you a tale more marvellous than either of these if you will grant me mercy for the rest of the blood which is forfeit to you." "Let it be so," answered the Jinni. And the third sheikh said, The Tale of the Third Sheikh. O thou Sultan, O thou chief of the Jinn, this mule which you see was once my wife. A time came when I had been far away on a journey for a whole year. When, at last, my business was finished, I returned by night and found her lying with a black slave on the carpets of my bed. They were talking, laughing, and kissing, and exciting each other with little games. As soon as my wife saw me, she sprang up and came towards me, snatching up a pitcher of water. She whispered a few words over the pitcher and sprinkled some of the water upon me, saying, "Come out from thy proper shape and put on the form of a dog." At once I became a dog, and she chased me from the house. I wandered about the city, and coming at last to a butcher's shop, went near and began eating the bones. When the master of the shop saw me, he lifted me and took me with him to his house. When the butcher's daughter saw me, she veiled her face because of me, saying to her father, "Is this the way to behave, to bring a man with you into my presence?" "Where is this man you speak of?" asked her father, and she answered, "This dog is a man. It is a woman who has bewitched him, and I am able to save him." "Save him then, my daughter, in Allah's name," said her father. She took a pitcher of water, and after speaking certain words over it, sprinkled a few drops upon me. "Come out of this shape and return to thy former appearance." So I returned to my former appearance, and kissing the young girl's hand, I told her that I ardently wished to bewitch my wife as she had bewitched me. Then the butcher's daughter gave me a little of the water, telling me, if I found my wife asleep, to sprinkle her, and that she would become whatever I wished. So, finding her asleep, I sprinkled her with water, saying, "Leave this shape and put on the form of a mule." And forthwith she became a mule, as you may see with your own eyes, O Sultan and chief of all the kings of the Jinn. Then the Jinni, turning to the mule, asked her, "Is this true?" At which she nodded her head as if to say, "Yes, yes, it is true." This tale made the Jinni tremble with pleasurable emotion. Here Shahrazad saw the approach of morning and discreetly fell silent. Then her sister Dunyazad said, "Sister, your words are sweet and gentle and pleasant to the taste." And Shahrazad said, "Indeed, they are nothing to that which I would tell you both tomorrow if I were still alive and the king thought good to spare me." On this the king said to himself, "By Allah, I will not kill her until I have heard the rest of her remarkable tale." Then the king and Shahrazad spent the remainder of the night in each other's arms till the king departed for the council. The wazir and the officer of the court came in. When the divan was full of people, the king gave judgment, raising some and abasing others, concluding cases and giving commands until the fall of day. At length, the divan rose and King Shahryar returned to his palace. And if you now feel inspired to go and spend some nights in the desert, check out the post called The Closest I Can Bring You to Arabian Desert Nights. Go check it out on the webpage. You can find it in the right-hand column below the calendar. Don't forget that the first 100 people who fill out the survey before July the 15th will receive a copy of a very handy little book called I Create Millions. Two nights down, 999 nights to go. Brought to you by 1001nights.com, another podcast by ZangWorldPodcasts.com.